found in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath once again, for the blessing that you give us of allowing us to come here to worship you. We just want to ask for your presence, for your Holy Spirit to be with us, be with Robin as he speaks your word today. Touch our hearts and send your Holy Spirit so we can understand the message you have for us in this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. The subject that we're going to look at today is one of the most important and talked about subjects in the Bible. It's the second coming of Christ. It's mentioned more than 2,500 times. And some people say that one out of every eight verses in the New Testament talks about the second coming or alludes to it. But it's strange that with all that biblical data, it seems that no two people seem to agree on how it's going to happen. You walk into any Christian bookstore, you read all the books they have there about the second coming, and you'll find about as many theories as you find books. So, I have a question that I want you to consider. Could all of these different theories about the second coming of Christ all be right? No, of course not. Absolutely not. So why is there so much confusion? Is it because God hasn't made things plain? Is it because the scriptures have so much information that's vague that you really can't tell what's going to happen? Well, this morning, we're going to put all of those books on prophecy off to the side. And we're going to just let the Bible speak. Because every time we're confused, God has a way of speaking clearly. And today we're only going to deal with certainty. We're only going to deal with the things that we know absolutely for sure. And I guess I want to start with what might seem like a strange question. Did Jesus actually say that he was going to come back? You know, I believe it. But ever so often you hear somebody ask that question. So let's make absolutely sure that Jesus is coming back. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he's saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. Does that sound like he's only going to take a few people with him? I don't think so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. So he's telling us, according to the Bible, Jesus is coming again. And why is he coming back? He's coming back because it's God's greatest desire to have you with him. That's the whole point. Jesus isn't coming back to destroy the world. He's not coming back to see some great catastrophe. He's coming back because he wants you with him. So today, I'm going to show you five things that we can know for sure. And it's important because many Christians have read a lot of books lately about the second coming. And there's some big titles that have been out there. But very few Christians take the time to read what the Bible says. So, listen to the words of Jesus. Then if any man says to you, look here, there is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. So it's going to be possible that even Christians will be in danger of falling for those lies. According to the Bible prophecy, there's one topic where deception is really prevalent, and that is the second coming of Christ. And that's one topic that you and I want to be absolutely sure that we understand completely. And the only safe place to find out the information is in the Bible. Especially when Satan and his demons are out there performing all kinds of miracles. You need to know absolutely for sure what the Bible says. And these five things that we can know for sure from the Bible. Number one, when Jesus returns, it's really going to be him. He's really going to return. It will literally be him. And I know that seems kind of obvious. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that believe that the second coming is kind of a spiritual thing. They think that when Jesus comes is when you have some kind of a spiritual enlightenment. And that's it for you. Others believe that it's symbolic of a time when Jesus is going to come and this earth is going to be peaceful and tranquil. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And the language is pretty obvious that it's going to be a very literal return. Now, how do I know that? Listen carefully to this passage from Acts chapter 1, where Jesus returns to heaven and the disciples are standing there beside him, watching him go. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The Bible says the very same Jesus who went up is the one who's coming back. And so, I want to know what Jesus went up. Because the one that went up is the one that's coming back. And the Bible says it was a real physical Jesus. Listen to what Jesus has to say about this. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Well, you can imagine the disciples, when Jesus appears to them after the resurrection, they are having a hard time with his being alive. And I think you and I could, you know, have the same problem if somebody you knew suddenly showed up alive. You'd have a bit of a trouble believing that they're really there. So Jesus proves it. Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Basically, Jesus is saying, I know this is hard to believe, but go ahead, touch me. I'm real. And then Jesus really proves it because he asks them for something to eat. And he sits down and eats it. That's not a ghost. Jesus is real. He was a live human being. And that's the Jesus who went back up into heaven. And that's the Jesus who's going to come back at the second coming, because it's the same one, the angel said. And of course, Jesus is God. But he's in human flesh. He's distinctly human. He's distinctly physical. So here's the first item on our list. Jesus will literally return. It's not symbolic. He's not coming in a spiritual sense. He's going to really be him. And that means that you and I are actually going to see him with the disciples. And when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be a Bible story. It's going to be you and Jesus face to face. Point number two. When Jesus comes, you're going to see it with your own eyes. And how do I know that? Well, we just read the disciples watched him go into heaven. And that means that you and I are going to watch him come back. Here's what Revelation chapter 1 says. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. How many eyes? Every eye. When Jesus comes, everybody's going to see it. When you go back to the book of Isaiah, the Bible promises that one day the blind will be completely restored. And that means that blind people are going to see Jesus come too. And think about that. The very first thing that they're ever going to see is the face of Jesus. Every eye will see Jesus come. Listen to the words of Jesus himself. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. You know, that's got to be one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Why in the world would anybody mourn the second coming of Jesus? You go back and read all of the words of Jesus, and over again he says, "Fear not." In John 14 that we just read, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." But in spite of that, there will be people who will mourn when Jesus comes. So what kind of a person doesn't want Jesus to come? Well, it's the person who doesn't believe him. It's the person who kept putting off having a relationship with Jesus until it was too late. It's the person who isn't ready, and now they have to face the judgment all by themselves. And what a shame, because right now, there's still time to be ready. There's no point in being lost. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When Jesus comes, everybody sees it. Those who are ready and those who are not, they all see it. You're not going to have to turn on CNN to see the second coming. You're not going to have to look at your Twitter feed to find out that he's come. You're going to see it yourself. In fact, the Bible says that it's going to be like lightning. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Nobody misses lightning. And if you don't see it, you're going to hear it. And if you don't hear it, you're going to feel it. Even if you close your drapes, you're still going to see the flash. If I told you right now that there's a storm outside and that every couple of minutes the lightning is flashing, and then I told you that only Christians are going to see the lightning flashing outside, are you going to believe me? No. No. Everybody is going to see him. But I heard this theory that says, yeah, I know. I've heard that theory too. But that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with certainties now, not theories. And the Bible says that Jesus is coming and every eye will see him. So here's what we know so far. Jesus will come literally. It's really going to be him. When it happens, you're going to see it. Point number three. When Jesus comes, you're going to hear it. And how do I know that? That's because the Bible says that. Listen to how Jesus describes his return. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, this is really going to be loud. How loud? loud enough to wake the dead. Listen to this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When Jesus comes, he returns with a shout. And it's going to be so loud that the dead are going to hear him. Now, you probably have heard the old saying, loud enough to wake the dead. Well, that's a biblical term. It comes from the second coming. Jesus said in John chapter 5, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the grave will hear his voice. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know, when Jesus comes, there's going to be a huge commotion. Folks, if God yells, do you think you're going to hear it? If trumpets are blasting all over the earth, do you think you're going to hear it? If people are popping out of the ground, coming back to life all around you, do you think you're going to notice it? You know, nobody's going to miss the second coming. It's the biggest commotion that this earth has ever seen, and you are going to see it. You're going to be there. Listen to this prediction in Psalms. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. You know, in Isaiah chapter 35, it says that one day the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Think about that. The first thing some people are ever going to hear is the voice of Jesus calling their name. Wow. And you're going to hear it too, because this is going to be a noisy event. Okay, we already know that Jesus is really coming back. It's going to really be him. We know that when he comes, we're going to see it. And you're going to have to watch. You're not going to have to watch it on the 11 o'clock news. And when he comes, you're going to hear it. Point number four. When Jesus comes back, it's going to put every 4th of July display you've ever seen to shame. You know, it's going to be the most glorious event in the history of this world. Let's go and look at that passage in Psalms again. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. It's a big event, folks. It's going to be tempestuous. Listen to this description in Revelation. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved from their places. Can you imagine? The sky is going to become unglued. The mountains and the islands are going to be moving around. You know, that's when Jesus comes back. Now listen carefully to the words of Jesus in Matthew 16. For the Son of God will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now notice this. Jesus is going to give out his rewards. That's because the judgment's already over. That was done before he comes back. So when Jesus comes, everything is final. You know, there's no changing your mind. You've already chosen your reward. And that means that you've got to be right with Christ now. You can't wait until later. You've got to be right with him today. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, it will be unbelievably glorious. He'll come in the glory of his Father. And how many angels are going to come with him? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his throne of glory. So Jesus says all the angels are going to come with him. So are there 50 angels? Are there 100 angels? Are there 1,000 angels? Well, let's look at what Revelation says about the throne room of God. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Well, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. And thousands of thousands is millions. Let's look at what Daniel has to say about this. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. So at a very minimum, there's going to be 100 million angels. Now you remember the story when Jesus came out of the tomb? One angel. One angel. What happened to those battle-hardened soldiers? They all fainted. They did. They all passed out. And this is going to be a whole lot more than one angel. You think you might notice it if 100 million angels showed up in the sky? When Jesus comes, it's really going to be him. Every eye is going to see him. Every ear is going to hear him. And it will be the most spectacular event in the history of this world. And when Jesus comes, it will mark the end of this world's history. There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to change it. It will be that stone hitting the feet of the statue, grinding up all of the kingdoms until there's only one kingdom, God's kingdom, and it's final. When Jesus comes, all of the decisions have been made and all the rewards are final. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. At this moment, it's all over. The books have been closed. The rewards have all been chosen. And it'll last forever. If you've chosen to be with Jesus, that lasts forever. And if you've chosen not to, that's permanent too. There are no more chances. And that's why in ancient Israel, they blew the trumpet 10 days before the day of judgment. It was the people's last chance to make things right. And if they didn't make things right, they were kicked out of Israel permanently. No more chances. When Jesus comes, there are only two groups: those that have accepted him and those that have not. On the one hand, you've got the people who blew it. They put it off so long. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Sorry, missed that one. "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand?" Now think about this. These people are afraid of a lamb. It's not a lion, it's a lamb. Now, who's afraid of a lamb? No, we aren't, at least we shouldn't be, but these people are. And notice, they know who he is. They do. They know who this is. They know who Jesus is. And it's because the message has gone to the entire world. Nobody hasn't heard. They know who Jesus is, they've rejected the invitation, and now they are horrified. They're terrified. They're scared of a lamb. And it's pointless to be lost. You don't have to be in that group. There's another choice. There's another group. And they have a completely different reaction. Listen to what they say from Isaiah. "And it will be said in that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. There's no reason not to be in this group. Right now is the time to choose. These people are excited to see Jesus. They shout. Jesus shouts. The angels are all excited. And it's because the family of God has been reunited. And right now the choice is yours. The two groups. Which one do you want to be in? As for me, I think there's only one good choice. And that's to be ready for Jesus. To be one of his followers. So that when he comes, I won't be hiding. I'll be rejoicing at his coming. And Jesus will welcome me with open arms. So, there are five things that we know for sure about the second coming of Christ. It's going to be a little return. Every eye is going to see him. Every ear is going to hear him. It's going to be the most spectacular, glorious thing this world has ever seen. And it's going to mark the end of this world's history. Everything is final. Now, I want you to look at those 5 points. Because I want to ask another question. How do those 5 points fit with the most modern thinking about the second coming of Christ? It's a really big question, because right now there are hundreds of theories out there. But over the last 100 years or so, one theory has become the most popular. And that theory looks something like this. It says that at some point, Jesus is going to take away his believers from this earth and take them to heaven and leave everybody else here. Then the Antichrist is going to appear, and for the next 7 years, there's going to be a terrible tribulation. And then at the end of that 7-year period, Jesus comes back with all of the saints and sets up his kingdom here on this earth. Now, there are some variations to this. You know, some people say that the Antichrist appears halfway through this 7-year period. But in general terms, this is the most popular theory in Christianity today. And the question is it biblical? You know, it's a theory. And so it needs to be checked by the Bible regularly to make sure that it falls in line with what the Bible says. So, what I want to do is to see if this harmonizes with the Bible. And actually, in many ways, it does harmonize with the Scripture. First of all, it teaches us that time is running out. And most people think that, you know, they have lots of time. But time is running out, and the Bible says that. Next, it also teaches us that, at least in the most popular versions, that before Jesus comes, there's going to be a massive deception. And that's going to lead millions of people away from God. And that's true too. And of course, it teaches that when Jesus returns, it's going to be a surprise to millions of people. And I think that harmonizes pretty well with what the Bible says. It also teaches us that the safest, most reliable place to get your beliefs is right here in the Bible. And I can't argue with that. It also teaches that the time to make your decision is now, not then. So in a lot of ways, this theory really does harmonize with the Bible. There's no question about it. But I still have some questions. And really, the first question is one that was posed by Roland Bingham, who was once the editor of Christianity Today. He tells a story of one Saturday night, he was sitting writing his sermon for Sunday morning. And his wife was working on her program for the young people. And she came in and she says, "In Sunday school tomorrow, we're going to be teaching about the second coming of Jesus. And I'm looking for that verse that says that when Jesus comes back, he secretly steals away all of the believers. Do you know where that is?" And he said, "Oh yeah, that's easy. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. So like a good wife, she went to her Bible and she read it. And this is what it said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, that didn't seem to be right. So she went back and she said, honey, that's got to be the noisiest verse in the Bible. Now listen to what Roland Bigham says. In sheer desperation, I took out my Bible and threw myself helplessly on the Lord. The weeks that followed that innocent query and the trouble into which it landed me is a separate story. Now listen to what he says carefully. If you hold to the theory of a secret rapture of the church, try out that simple question yourself. What question? Where is it in the Bible? And I think it's a valid question. All my life I've heard about a secret coming of Jesus. And if it's factual, it's going to be here in the Bible. So let's look at our five certainties that we have talked about already. When Jesus comes, he's coming back the same way he went up. It's going to be a literal coming. Every eye is going to see him. Every ear is going to hear him. It lights up the whole planet and all the angels are there with him. And when he comes, it's the end of history and everything is final. Okay. Do you see anywhere in there where it says anything about a secret rapture? No, it's not in there anywhere. Remember, everybody is going to see him at the same time. Listen to what the Bible says. And this is Jesus speaking. And of course, he's got to be the best authority on this subject. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, I know some people will probably say, well, that's describing the wicked at the end of the seven-year tribulation time when Jesus comes back with the righteous. And I might be able to accept that, except what the next verse says. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The wicked are mourning at the same time that the righteous are being gathered together to meet Jesus in the air. When Jesus comes, we all see it. He's not going to come quietly for the righteous and then come publicly for the wicked. He comes once for everybody. And Jesus says it's going to be like the flood. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So here's the question. Did the wicked and the righteous both experience the flood at the same time? Yes, they did. And here's the truth of the matter. You can search the Bible from cover to cover, and I've done it. And you will not find anything in there that says that Jesus comes secretly for his people. Now, if that's not the way that you've always thought, I completely understand that. And you're definitely not alone. I just want you to search out and find for yourself what the Bible says about the second coming of Christ. Because it's important to know what the Bible actually says. There are some other questions, too, about this theory, like when does the Antichrist appear? In this scenario, the Antichrist appears after Jesus comes for the righteous. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says that Jesus comes before. Paul says that the Antichrist comes, and get my words right here, before Jesus comes. And he wrote that in a letter to the Thessalonians. Now, his first letter to the Thessalonians, he talked about the second coming, and they got so excited about it that they thought it was going to happen tomorrow. And so he wrote them a second letter and told them, okay, back off just a little bit. There's some things that have to happen before Jesus comes. So listen to this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul couldn't be any clearer. This is the Antichrist, and he has to come before Christ. So Christ's second coming comes after he appears. And it doesn't fit the popular theory at all. And there is more. The Bible actually says that the Antichrist is going to be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. Look at verse 8 of that same chapter. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you see it? When Jesus comes for the church, everything is finished. The lawless one is destroyed. The story of this planet is finished. There are no second chances. But this theory says there is, during that 7-year period. And it's popular, but it's not biblical. You will not find it in the Bible. And that should raise all kinds of red flags for you and me. Remember what Jesus said about his second coming. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. When Jesus comes, it's all over. There's no second chances. There's no makeup exams. It's finished. You've made your final decision, and the reward is final. The most popular theory today is not in the Bible. So, let me propose one that is more biblical. According to the plain facts of the Bible, at some point in history, the Antichrist is going to appear. And then after that, Christ returns in the glory and ends this world's history. These are the facts. We've looked at them in the Bible. And in recent years, more and more people have been discovering that this is true. For the first 1,800 years of Christianity, nobody believed in a secret rapture. That's a fairly recent belief. So, what about all those verses that say that Jesus will come as a thief in the night? Doesn't the Bible teach that? Yeah, it does. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. There it is. A thief. He's coming in the middle of the night. But does that mean he's going to come quietly? Does that mean he's going to come secretly? Not if you read the whole verse. So let's read the whole verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So let's be honest. There's no secret rapture here. It doesn't happen. Really, Jesus as a thief in the night, it's not like he's sneaking in like a cat burglar and you don't know what's going on. It's more like he comes up to the front door and kicks it down and says, "Here I am." You know, it's not a secret, it's a surprise. And that's what it's all about. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So, where did this idea of a secret rapture come from? Well, it dates back to the Middle Ages. Over the centuries, the Christian church has compromised on a lot of stuff. And we've done some things that certainly weren't biblical or right. For example, we set up religious torture chambers. We burned people at the stake. That's what the Christian church did. It's true, and we need to recognize that. And at one point, the religious scholars in the Middle Ages began to realize that the Bible predicted some problems in the Christian church. They began to see that the New Testament talked about some bad things that were going to happen in the Christian church, just like the Old Testament talks about some of the bad things that the Jews did. So, they call for people to repent. They call for people to come back to the plain teachings of the Bible. And some people did. They repented. They came back. But there were a lot that didn't. So around the 1500s, Christian scholars started to argue. And some of the people, in an effort to take the spotlight off the church, started to come up with some new theories about Bible prophecy. There was a guy by the name of Alcazar who started to teach that the Bible prophecy, all of that was past. It's all happened. So it's not talking about us. It's all in the past. And he said it happened under Nero or Antiochus Epiphanes or something like that. And so we're safe. We're okay. It's not talking about us. Now, that was only moderately successful. And even today, you still hear some people that will say that. But there was another guy by the name of Ribera, and he did something different. Instead, he said, instead of it all being in the past, it's all in the future. It hasn't happened yet. All that bad stuff happens way off in the future. And some of his disciples grabbed onto that, and they started thinking about that, and they came up with this idea that all of that stuff happens in the last 7 years of this earth's history. Now, it didn't catch on until about the 19th century. And so in the 19th century, this idea started to really catch on, and people started to accept this. Even though it's 1,800 years after Christ, and during that 1,800 years, nobody has believed in the secret rapture idea. So, this is the way it looked. Their theory said that the Old Testament prophets, like Daniel, could not see the New Testament church. They could see the cross, and they could see the last 7 years of this earth's history, but they couldn't see us, the church, in between. You and I were hidden from view. And that took all the heat off the Christians. During the Dark Ages, they said, if Daniel couldn't see us, then he's not talking about us, so we don't have any problems. But honestly, we made that up during a debate. And we did that 1,800 years after Christ left. And it's suddenly become the most popular theory in the world. We make movies about it. We have books about it. It's all made up. It's a deliberate fiction. And we know that. Now, I want you to go home. Take your Bibles and study it carefully, because only in your Bible are you going to find the truth about the second coming of Christ. I have just two things to say to you today. Check your Bible and stick with what it says. And please, be ready for Jesus to come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, today the only thing that really matters is not what I say. And it doesn't matter what books say. We just want to know what you say. We understand that the hour is late, and there's never been a more important time to know what the Bible says for sure. And we choose to stand on the Bible alone for what we will believe, Lord. And we long to see Jesus come soon. We pray all of these things in his wonderful name. Your will be done. Amen.